Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. At Ephesians 4, verse 11, and you know we start there a lot of times, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Remember we said those are in order, right? Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Remember, I always say, slow down and read that so you can understand what it's saying. To the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Till you measure up to the fullness of what Christ, the stature. You look at somebody's stature, you're talking about the waistline or how the size. Or when you look at that, like you look at them, you measure up to what they measure up to. You got me? So the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. Who is him we talking about? Who is him we talking about? Jesus. In how many things?
In all things.
If you ain't growing up into him in all things, then you ain't growing up. All right? Which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. In the vanity, underline that please, that we don't walk in the vanity of our minds. I don't want to stop there and stay there too long, but I will. Majority of people in general, but then Christians are walking in the vanity of their mind. What does it mean to be vain? Vanity. To be vain. When you're vain, you think it's all about you. When you're a vain person, everything that you think about, everything that you learn, I said this in the last class we had about the conditioning of our soul. And depending on the conditioning of your soul is how you take in a message or how you take in something that somebody's delivering to you. So apostle can be preaching a message, but depending on the conditioning of your soul, that will determine what you take that in and how it translates to you. Now, many people hear a lot of messages and they just think me. So I'm giving so that I can receive. That's vain. You don't have to think I'm giving so I can receive. Because the receiving is in the giving already. See, God is more blessed to give. Come on. More blessed to give than receive. He's saying that for a reason, because in the giving is receiving. All right? It's built in there. All right? When you hear a message, when you hear about preaching about forgiveness, are you asking for your own forgiveness? One, are you thinking about other people getting forgiven? The vanity of your minds. Majority of Christians operate, quote unquote, in faith, in vain. You ever done something in vain before? Huh? Solomon talked about that, like this vanity and vexation. He got wrecked and got his mind was all off, and he kept on talking about all this is vanity and vexation in the spirit. It's vain. Doing something in vain. If I do something in vain, that means I might as well not even have done it, because it didn't matter, because it was in vain. Now, why do we separate the two vanities? Vain, vain, in vain, you vain. In vain, you vain. In vain, you vain, you walking and you're doing these things in the vanity, just like Gentiles, in the vanity of your mind. You have to watch yourself. Come on, say it, I gotta watch myself. Come on, say it again, I gotta watch myself. Because the part of the curse that we had to deal with from the beginning, that's vanity. The reason Eve ate from that tree and then Adam ate from that tree, It's vanity. You want to be, you thought, you thinking about being something that you already was, but you still were thinking about yourself. You ate from that tree, I don't want to stop here too long. You ate from that tree because you wanted something for yourself that you thought God didn't get for you. When you're in vain, when you are vain, that means you do not know yourself. Because Adam and Eve were trying to, they were ate from the tree trying to get, the enemy was trying to fool them to make them think they didn't have something, they had it all. But if you get over in vanity, because if you get over there thinking about yourself, if you get over to yourself thinking about yourself, it's going to end up doing something to yourself. Are y'all understanding me? Vanity, in the vanity of your mind. Not don't be like the Gentiles. Walking in the vanity of your mind. You're doing it in vain. That means that if, and I'm going to touch on this a little bit. If you could be trying to operate in faith in vain. The way you're doing it. Mm-hmm. I prove a lot of us in vain because we don't get a lot of results. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
The truth is, we don't get a lot of results. We send up a lot of prayers. We do a lot of different things. We say a lot of different stuff, and we don't get a lot of results. Why don't we get results? Because sometimes we're doing it in vain. Because sometimes we're just asking for us. This church unusual now. We'll know. In advance, having their understanding darkened. Golly, it says being alienated. Understanding darkened, so now they're dark, they're in the dark. Then it says being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their hearts. Who being in the past have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness with greediness. Verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man was corrupt according to deceitful lust. Remember now you're talking about lust. Lust ain't, you know, we jump to sexual sin. No, lust just means you want something that you can't have. You want something that you shouldn't be wanting. Anytime you going to pray about something, are you doing, you trying to walk in faith about something, are you looking for something, and you looking for that thing before you looking for what Jesus want with that thing, you in lust. Oh no, not me. Oh yeah, yeah, you. Oh no, not me. No, I'm not lustful. Maybe so. How much of your prayers are for others and how much are for you? Do your pie chart. And I'm saying even for you, like even for you and your family. Look at your pie chart. How much? How much of your study time is for another? Or are you looking for a revelation for you? Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Go over to Matthew chapter I think I want to go to chapter 16. Chapter 16, and we'll do a little traveling in Matthew. Is it 16? Yeah, 16. But I want to. Chapter 16. Let me read our favorite part first, and then we'll go back to get some of verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist; some Elias." And others, Jeremiah's, are one of the prophets. And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter, thank God for Peter, answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. All right, and it goes on to say, he charged the disciples, they tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. So before then, I'm to assume that they didn't know who he was. Because he didn't charge them. You never heard him say, charge them, that he don't tell nobody that he's Jesus the Christ. So now they've been walking with him, and they didn't know who he was. I mean, they were in close proximity with Jesus and didn't know him. A couple chapters earlier was when they fed all them thousands, in chapter 14. That same chapter, and we'll go back there and talk about it in a minute, that same chapter, the same one, where he came walking on the water. And the famous story about Peter walking on the water. And they still didn't know who he was. When is the last time you seen bread and fish multiply in front of your eyes? You physically right now. Come on, I'm asking. Have you ever? When last time you saw him walking on water, or you decided to walk on water? Never? Come on, I'm asking. Never? Because some of y'all might have, I know y'all might have a miracle. Might be something we need to put in the EIW magazine or something. Never? These people have walked with him, saw that, and they still didn't know him. So I'm prone to believe that maybe we don't know him as well as we think. Do you know him? Do you know? You know, do you? He's preaching in church, right? But I'm prone to believe that you don't. Not as well as you think you do. Let no man think more highly of himself than the other thing, but think soberly. So here we are. Jesus' original intention, you ready? Y'all ready for this? God's original intention for the church was for it to be built upon rocks or foundations or people that knew who he was. It was meant to be built upon individuals that had a revelation of Jesus the Christ. But somewhere along the line, through the years and through, you know, some men having power that shouldn't have power, and through the cunning craftiness, right? We just read about it in Ephesians 4, right? Whereby they lie and wait to deceive and all these different things. Somehow we've got caught up and the church got built upon law and ritual as opposed to revelation and rock. The church has almost been like the house that got built on the sand. You know the parable about the house that got built on the sand? Fool's man built his house on the sand and the winds came and blew the house down because it wasn't founded upon a foundation. You get it? So here we are now. Good question. Do you know him? You can't be the church till you know him. You can't really function like you should function until you have a revelation of Jesus the Christ. Now, I'm going to give you a good one real quick. Now, the Lord told me this other day. You ready? Yes, we think we know. And I broke down what know is. When we talked about know, you know, we like to have different definitions. But what you really are a lot of times is informed about things.
Right.
You have some good information. The Bible, when the Bible speaks about knowing, it talks about intimacy. Right. Such and such, knew such and such, and they birthed such and such. In other words, a knowing, there was a know, the knowing brought some kind of intercourse, was produced a product. When you know. So the Lord told me the other day that you don't know till you have intercourse with the information. My God. Till you become, and it's good. It's good that you have information. Praise the Lord. We're going to write down notes and thank God for all that. We listen to a lot of messages. We go back and listen. But it's not until I was riding in the car, Doug, and I said, I'm just riding the car. I'm at the light. And my mind is, time out. Let me go back. Let me do a side journey right quick. Whenever you're ministering or whenever you're preaching, your best message will be you. You will always be your best message. Well, what you mean by that, Montrell? I come here and I don't have, and I'm not that deep. I'm not no deep preacher. I'm not no smart preacher. But I rarely have notes with me because I'm not looking for a message. I'm the message. When I get up in the morning, I pray and I read. I'm looking to be the message. If I just got to put it on paper to know it, then I don't know it that well, do I? See, we're talking about things that I've been thinking about all day today. Not for this class, though. I've been looking for that to try to infuse that in me. He says intercourse with the information. You get it? Until then, you don't know it. So all right, so I know that I'm supposed to forgive people, right? I mean, pick your subject. I'm informed that this works like this. I see time. I'm informed about all these things. So now, it is not until this information is injected into my action. Until this information has had intercourse with my being, until I've actually done these things, faith without works is, be ye a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. So it's not until this information that I got has become intimate with me, until it's been infused and become a part of my character, can I say that I know it. If you're bound up anywhere, then you don't know the truth. Because what the truth do? No, not set you. Make you free. So the truth makes me free, and there's somewhere that I'm not free, there's something that I don't know. We are as people, and I don't know if church people are worse at this. I'm saying this for a reason. If Christians are worse at this, or if it's just a human nature thing, but we are very terrible about admitting that we don't know something. We are horrible about it. We are horrible about saying that we're deficient in a way. I'm not good enough. It's hard to say that. It's hard with egos and different things. It's very hard to say that, but truth of the matter is, the old prophet said the proof in the pudding is the eating. You can't prove it to me until you show it to me. The beautiful thing about Jesus, everything he said, he did. What about you? You go preach to your friend that he can heal you, but then you can't lay your hands on him and get him healed. But you want them to believe. You go talk to this person on whatever you call a witness, and you want to go tell them about the great Jesus that you love so much, but then you can't manifest. That's a problem. I wouldn't believe you neither. Me being a common sense man, I heard a man say this one time. Me being a common sense man, just knowing, you know, what light and dark is and left and right, right? Me being a common sense man, I would look at you and not believe you either. It's tough, ain't it? But see, we've got to get to the point to where I realize that there's deficiency in me somewhere. See the great reason about the church, the great problem with the church. Everybody else and their problems, and they don't deal with the ones inside. They quick to tell everybody else that you're supposed to be over here with us. But for what? Y'all not breaking no bread and feeding nobody. Y'all ain't got no miracles going on. We out here doing more miracles with just our hands than y'all doing. The original intention was for the church to be founded on individuals that knew him. That had a revelation. And he tell Peter, right, that we read it just now, right? Peter, flesh and blood ain't revealed this to you. But you got some contact. Somewhere along the line, you got some contact with something bigger than what's been going on, right? You got some contact. And so because of that, you Peter. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. I will build upon you to become a pillar of the church. I will build on you because of what you know. What you don't know will kill you. You know what I'm saying? What you don't know won't hurt you. Yeah, what you don't know will kill you. What you don't know will get you left out. What you don't know will get you left behind. So now we got a couple different things. And now Peter, I'm gonna build my church on you. And the precept of the church being built. All right, and there's two things that happen right now. Now, not only was the church built, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. But then right after that, he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, which my understanding means gates don't move. So if the gates don't move, but it won't prevail against the church, then the church got to be moving. Now, I want you to use your imagination. All right, y'all ready? Use your imagination for a quick second. And I have to use this just so you can understand kind of the concept of what I'm saying when I say the church is moving, right? I know we are the church, all right? But just imagine there's a foundation under this building, this big old building, right? This church building. Y'all been to Sanctuary before, right? Everybody been to, just imagine the actual walls of the church expanding. And the foundation, the rock foundation just expanded. Like they just pour more concrete. And we just start pouring concrete all till we get down to Hereville and all till we get down to downtown Darrow. And we pour it all the way to the, like the actual slab, right? And they go all the way across the road and go all the way. Like, just imagine all the walls of the building. If you use your imagination, it'll touch you. All the walls of the building just keep spreading out. Because adding to the church daily. Right. That would happen in Acts. Word of God increase and multiply, and it's just, and it keeps spreading out. I see that's God's intention. Now, I'm just using that for your imagination. It's not necessarily the building, but the rock. It's not necessarily this building, but the foundation. Are you a part of the foundation, or are you a bystander? Are you a part of the foundation, or are you standing upon other people's foundation? I told myself this, and let me speak. I told myself this about Apostle, and about everything that he's doing, everything he's been doing for the past 40 some years, and everything he's doing. And I said, I refuse to allow myself to be stand. I may not be as strong. I may not be as wise right now. I know I'm a young dude, I got a lot to learn, right? But you better believe with the effort that I can and the effort that I have, I'm gonna lay down and try to be part of the foundation. I'm not just gonna stand on a rock, stand on the foundation, and not try to be a part of the foundation. You understand? I'm setting myself up, I'll lay down. I may not be able to have this much pressure right now, right? But I'm gonna take some of it though. I bet I can handle a corner of the building. Huh? I can handle a corner of it. Yeah, because I'm knowing Jesus better. Right. I'm looking for him. Right. Are y'all hearing me? Yeah. I'm looking for Jesus. I don't want your rhetoric. I want to know what you're doing, Jesus. I don't want what everybody's saying about Jesus. I need to know him. Yeah. I need to know what's going on inside of me. Right. So I take my time to, and I do. John 5:39 says, search the scriptures, right? And I do, don't you? Yeah, I search the scriptures. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in them you think you have life. But they're going to bring you to me. If you keep going on the scripture road, all roads lead to Jesus. And eventually it's going to bring you to me. Not just to me, but into me. Like the road is going to turn you into me. But he said, but you won't come unto me. You won't go all the way. That all the way road is kind of scary, because that all the way road is just like it's just like being crucified even unto death. Death of the cross. We still got too many things that we're holding on to. It's tough. I was talking to some young people, and we, you know, it's just tough. Because we built our lives on so many things. And we become so accustomed to what's here. Y'all know this ain't it, right? Let's have a come to Jesus moment, right? Y'all know this ain't it. Y'all know this on this side ain't it, right? Y'all know this ain't the, you're not building your homestead here. Huh? You know there's something further, right? You need to understand that. You need to understand what's going on. You understand how massive this is. You can get caught up with the things around you if you want and miss out on that kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Right here, we got two different things. He said, who do men say that I am? So now we got two conversations, men and then you. Right. If y'all end up saying the same thing, then ain't nobody winning. He said, who do men say that I am? Well, you look at the scripture. Look. He said, verse 13. Well, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they get the rambling what all the men said. Everybody was answering. Then they had multiple choice. Then some say the Elias. Some say John the Baptist. Some say one of everybody has something to talk about. Then sound like a bunch of preachers. Sound like a bunch of Christians quoting their scriptures with no power. Sound like a bunch of church folk that's quoting their scriptures and saying their jargon and saying what they heard somebody else say with no revelation. To the men say it's two different things. That's what men say. He said, but who you say? And all of a sudden it got quiet now. Oh, you gotta use your imagination for this, Doug. Like when you're studying, you gotta get yourself in the conversation, all right? You don't take it as we can't take it as a nursery rhyme or as a Sunday school lesson, but we actually have to get in the conversation. So now you gotta hear what Jesus is saying. Every time Jesus was talking, there was always a higher meaning than what's just right there on the surface.
Right.
It was always something higher and deeper. All right? So who do men say that I am? So now he's making a point, right? Making a point. Who do men say that I am? Well, something everybody get the chat on. Everybody got a word now. He said, all right, but who you said I am? Now I get personal.
Right.
Now I'm all up in your grill now.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm all up in your, I'm in your personal prayer time now.
Right.
In the room, get quiet.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And now nobody has a message.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody got a word for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can't preach right now.
Mm-hmm.
Except Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Except Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter said, thou art the Christ. So it's 1 out of 12.
Mm-hmm.
He's the dog of the Christ. Now, why? How can Peter know it's the Christ? Well, right before this is when, in chapter 14, is when Peter come walking on the water.
Mm-hmm.
Peter knew something.
Mm-hmm.
Peter had a revelation of something. He might not have, but when he got here, he was able to answer this question because he had seen something already. Now, remember, you know how he found Peter, right? You remember how Jesus and Peter met, right? Jesus come and ask Peter, let me use your boat. Remember that? Y'all remember the story, right? Let me use your boat. He come and launch out. And so that's a little weird because the man come walking and said, let me use your boat. He launch out. And he said, cast out a net. Oh, we've been fishing all night.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we ain't took nothing.
Right.
Nothing. Nevertheless, thy word, we let down net. And then closed a great multitude of fish to where the boat began to sink. And they had to bring the boat next to them. And that boat began to sink. Peter come to Jesus and fell on his knees and grabbed him and said, Lord, get away from me. I'm not a good man at all. You are, whoever you are, you much more worthy to be on, to be somewhere else than on my boat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how we should be saying every day. Lord, whoever you are, you much more worthy to be using somebody else than me. You ever want God to use you? Huh? Do you want God to use you? You ever want God to use you? Understand that Jesus could be using somebody else. But if he came to you, he wanted you. You gotta understand that. I think we take Jesus for granted. Can we say that sometimes? You know, we'll never say it and we won't, but through our course of our functioning and our mindsets and our thought process throughout the day, we take him for granted. How many times was he on your mind today? How long was he on? I don't care what you was doing, where you was at your work. He can work through you. How long was he on your mind? How many Jesus scriptures did you go across today? You might have went across some other ones. Bless the Lord for that. But all roads lead to. How often today did you come back to him when you put your suit on? And you put your tag on for the night? Come on, y'all. Now, I don't want nobody to feel bad, but feel bad. Like, what? In the course of your thought process, how much of that was for Jesus? Could you get away from it? Because if you could get away from it, then you're not connected. Could you leave it? Like, could you be over somewhere so caught up that your mind, my mind does this. My mind does, and I got to keep myself talking too much sometimes, right? But I'm a preacher, the gift of gab, they call it, right? So I got to keep, my mind does this. My mind, and there are things that I have to do that's practical throughout the day, right? But my mind, it does, and it start going towards the thing that it's supposed to be doing or whatever. And I'm trying to describe it as over, do the thing, and then eventually start. Come right back over there, Jesus. I might be over here working, but I'm looking over here.
Right.
Looking under Jesus.
Right.
Hebrews 12, 2, the other thing, I can't get away. It's tough because then you begin the things that you used to like, you don't like them no more.
Right,
right? And everything begins to fall away.
Right.
Everything begins to, everything else gets gray. I don't know if you've been there yet. I don't know if you've experienced that. We may have glimmers of it. But there's a place where you can get to where you can't get away. You can't get away, but you can't get enough. Right? And it's when I'll tell you about the soak. I was soaking, and the Lord took me and stood me up. Now, I got to get to that. He stood me up in front of the cross, and I'm looking at Jesus. And the first thing I say is, what in the world causes a man to do this? Why would you do this? Right? And I begin to, I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm looking at, I'm like right here, and I know in my imagination, the way I saw it, because I knew that he would hang the cross was big, so normally you would have to look from the ground and look up at the cross, right? But I'm up in the air, so I know Jesus, I know the Holy Ghost got me up there to see something different. And I'm up there face to face. And the moment that I see that, the importance of everything else kind of falls away. I couldn't worry. I wasn't concerned about nothing. I didn't care what anybody thought. I didn't care how anybody felt. All those other things just kind of fell away. All these things that we're anxious about falls away. All these things that we're concerned about falls away. I mean, it's almost like it's almost like Jesus does this. And he just move it all out the way. That right there could be some kind of sickness you've been dealing with for the longest. That right there could be something that you had in your family. That right there could be something that you've just been trying to break over yourself. But it's in him. It's in him, and it's just... Many times we're not there. Come on, can we be honest with ourselves? Many times we don't go that far. Sometimes you get close. You ever got close? You get close, but you don't go all the way there. Or you get close, but then you fall back into your regular pattern. Peter knew something. Because Peter had experienced something from the beginning. Right? So Peter had been primed for this question. Peter had been primed. You primed for it, but you just don't know you primed for it. The same thing he did for Peter, the same thing he did for you. Save your wretched soul. Save your tail from wherever you was going. Huh? I can't hear you. He did the same thing for you. Your life ain't supposed to be like it is right now. Stop complaining about what it ain't. That's the problem now. We're complaining too much about what we don't have when we don't realize what we do have. Do you realize greater is he? We quote it all the time. Quote it. Come on, go ahead, quote it. Come on, you have overcome them, little children. Come on. Come on, quote the scripture. Come on, you know it, quote it. I want everybody to say it. Greater, come on. Don't you know it? Are you sure? Are you sure that greater is he that is in you than he is? Are you sure? Come on. I'm asking, yes or no, are you sure? Are you sure that there's something greater in you than something outside of you? Because if you're so sure, then why are you so worried about this stuff out here? And the scripture says be anxious for nothing. For nothing. I'm trying to say nothing, not a thing. Don't be anxious for none of it. When we get to know him, that I may know him. Paul's message was nothing else but knowing Jesus. Paul wasn't talking about a lot. Paul said, I'm to know him and the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Over, not as though I've already attained. I don't ever wake up like I got it already, right? I don't wake up like I've already attained it because I need to get more of. Peter had been primed from the beginning of his relationship with Jesus. He had been primed to answer this question properly. He had been primed to be used by God. He had been primed to be a pillar of the church. He had been primed and trained from day one to be who he was when he answered this. He was primed for it. Peter come walk. There's no way you're going to, everybody else on the boat and they crying and they scared and you say, Lord, is that you? They think it's a ghost because they ain't got no revelation. They thought it was a ghost walking on the water. Well, how Peter thought it was something else? I'm prone to believe Peter paying attention more. How often we hear about Peter in all the Jesus stories? Peter did a lot of stuff, didn't he? Because Peter had a tenacity about himself. Here we go. We just fed thousands. And right after that, Jesus sent them away so he can pray to go on the ship. He made them go. Then he come walk on the water. Peter walk on the water. They give him the ship. They calm down. He said, y'all, what's wrong with y'all faith, right? Then we come here and we go a little further. Now we answer this question right here. We come right here and we ask this question. Whom do men say that I am? And they still could not answer. These are people that physically, come on, feel your hand. Like they physically walk with Jesus. Like they physically rub shoulders with him. You saw this stuff. We have to use our imagination for it, don't we? Right? And somebody said, no, and they still didn't know who he was. Now, not that you can't know, but are you looking? It's not that you can't know, but are you letting yourself be trained in that way? What has most of your attention? Now, the church will always be weak as long as we have a weak revelation of Jesus. It don't matter that we can do days of prayer. We can do the prayer challenge. We can do 32 days of prayer. What you want to do? Which one you want to do this year? We can do all those, right? We can do all of them. It won't matter until you get a revelation of the Christ. There will never be a strong foundation in the church until the people of the church get a foundation of who Jesus is. Well, who is Jesus? Good question, huh? Well, who was Jesus? Well, was Jesus the one that just died on the cross for my sins? And that's him we got a plaque on the wall, right? Is that a picture of him over there? Who is Jesus? All these different things we got. Who is Jesus? Well, Jesus, what was his character? What is the name of Jesus? I'm riding a date and I'm sitting there and he says this, right? And I would hope that it's the simplest thing in the world, but we've been fooled. Just like in the beginning, we still getting fooled like the Garden of Eden. We still today getting fooled like the Garden of Eden. We are going to sleep, waking up, walking everywhere with it on the inside of us, and still being fooled that we don't have it. When you're conscious of Christ, you're conscious of you. When you're conscious of Christ, you're conscious of the true you. Those problems that come up, the reason that you get fearful is because you're not conscious of the Christ. Which means you don't even know who you are. It means you have an identity crisis. I know myself. No, you don't. It's right there with you all the time. But you don't dig to look for it. I'm riding in and say, what you prayed for today? Don't yell it out, but just think about what you prayed for today. What you asked for today or whatever, right? Amen for all that, right? And a good way to see is how much was it for other people? How much anointing did Jesus use for personal gain? I'll wait. Come on, y'all, come on. Come on, church, come on. Come on, y'all. How many of y'all Christians? Come on, answer me right now, come on. How many of y'all Christians, how many of y'all love Jesus, right? Right, you want to know more? All right, how much did he use for himself? The scripture, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he started talking about all the stuff he's doing for other people. But that's why the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Go through the scriptures. Is Jesus the goal or not? I can't hear you. Is Jesus the goal?
Yes, sir.
Is Jesus the goal?
Yes, sir.
All right. He keeps trying to tell us, though, but we don't really listen too well. Because we still got the knowledge of good and evil in us. Christ, what you thought he was talking about? He said Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Right? Being made a curse, if it's written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. If you're hanging on a tree, if you're still holding on to the tree, what tree it is? Knowledge of good and evil. If you're still hanging on to that tree, you're cursed. You still hanging on to the fruit of that tree. What the system told you gotta have to be, whatever. how the system told you. The only reason you're doing that because you're not looking for Jesus. He keep trying to tell, pull up to the light. He says, all the stuff you're trying to, my issue was I'm trying to figure out how to do stuff for people, right? But I'm still in my own, I'm doing it in my own works, right? Which is another error in itself, right? But you don't get no A for effort. You get an A for passing the test. Huh?
Yes,
I ain't never got no A's for effort in school. Well, you get an A for, you tried real hard, but you lost though.
Right.
Ain't no first place and second place winners. There's a winner and a loser. All right. He said, if you ask Jesus, what's the great commandment in the law? They come and say, what's the great commandment in the law? He said, thou should love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. That leaves no room for nothing else. All right, heart, mind, soul. We know what all that's had to deal with our soul, right? So you know if you take all three of those, ain't nothing left. Huh?
Right.
So with all that, with your whole functioning of your mindset, right? There's the first and great commandment. And the second one is just like it. Love you as you love. And it says on this hangs everything. Like all of it. All that hang on those. And he said, I wish, Jesus said this over and over. He said, if I, Jesus said this, you ready? Jesus said, if I testify myself, then my witness ain't true. I love Jesus, man. I love him. Everybody jumped to the cross and thank God for the cross and I appreciate it, but I love him, man, for how he showed me how to walk the cross out. Like how to live live a crucified life. He showed me how to do it. I'm trying to get him to understand. Jesus said this over and over again. He said, I don't do nothing but what my Father tells me to do. He says, I hear I judge. I'm here to do the will of the Father. And it, over and over. So he says, you do those things and be like me and all these things will be added to you. He keep telling us over. The Bible is a resounding theme. Seek first kingdom of God and righteousness, all these things will be added. Love the Lord your God, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Right? Give and should be given you good measure. Over and over again. Acknowledge me all your ways, I direct your path. Huh? Delight yourself in the Lord, I give you the desires of your heart. Huh? Huh? It's over. Commit thy thoughts to the Lord. Commit thy words to the Lord so your thoughts be established. Over and over and over. He's saying, be like Jesus. Make it about somebody else. I'm not talking about charity work. I'm talking about the special things you do. I'm talking about your lifestyle. Hearing for another. Forgiving for another. Repenting for another. Praying for another. You remember I'm talking about praying for them, right? Not just in another, but in place level. The key to all that stuff, all them things that you want to happen in your life, Galatians, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. And what does it say after that? Whatsoever man what? That shall he also reap, right? What does that mean? Okay, all right. What does that mean? Whatever you put out, that's what you get back. Huh? Why are you trying to get so many things instead of giving so many? A lot of people be trying to start up. See, and this is a problem. This is one of the things about submission. What people don't understand about submission is if I have some people that work with me now, some young people that work with me, that'll do anything for me. They'll do anything for me. Anything. But I'm reaping that for me doing anything. Most people want to start a church, but they don't want to submit to a church. Want to be a minister, but what minister have you submitted to? I want to start a business. This is why the old interns. We're getting away from it now. And nowadays, just in the regular world, too, they don't do a lot of the staunch mentorships anymore. But if you want to start something, start with being under. Because sow, you're gonna reap it. Maybe the victory that you've been praying so much for in your family is gonna come with you praying for somebody else's family. What you sow, you what? I call that sowing. That's Jesus. Don't you let no time pass. Look at me. Don't you let no time pass about in a day and your mind don't get reeled back over to where Jesus is.
Right, right, right.
If you can go all day long, you need to check your mindset. You need to check your understanding. Maybe there's some stuff you're putting in there that don't need to be in there.
Right, right.
Maybe there's some other stuff going on that's hindering your love walk with the Christ.
Right, right.
It should be, you know, and you, it almost gets to the point where you're trying to walk over here, but then and they pull you back over to Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey, you won't go, you know, and sometimes you got to go to work, you know, but while you get to work, he's sitting at your desk looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows you exactly how to do the work that you're doing.
That's right.
See, all the work that you're doing, it should be through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Any work that you're doing without Jesus ain't got no profit.
That's right.
Any work that you do without Jesus, it doesn't have to be everlasting life.
Right.
It'll be cool for that moment and then it'll die. Amen.